All right, LA, appreciate you guys tuning in. We'll go till 9 o'clock tonight. Mike Trudell, beat reporter for the Lakers, will come on in about a half hour or so. Brad Turner at 8:30 covers the Lakers for the LA Times. We'll join in on the show as well. As you guys know, 877-710-ESPN. Apparently, we might weave in and out of basketball tonight because Greg has told me I'm a catfishing expert. Like, people come to me, they spend a lot of time with me when it comes to catfishing stories. I don't know what's going on, Laker fans. I don't know what's going on. Unbelievable that this has become that big of a story. So we'll save the conversation tonight for some Laker topics. And then if you want to talk about some catfishing, then feel free to call me at 877-710-ESPN. Unbelievable, by the way. Honestly, I'm doing all my research today. Just coming up with Lakers stories and Lakers topics. Here we are, under a month away. Actually, not under a month. Right around 1 month away from the playoffs starting, play-in tournament, all this stuff. Yeah, I'm trying to get some Laker angles and all this. Everything's catfishing. It's unbelievable to me how big of a story that this has become. Okay, so this is kind of where we are from a Laker perspective, and I mentioned this yesterday in the postgame show. I do want to kind of start off the show with this. Lakers, in my opinion, have survived the toughest stretch of their season so far, and that's a combination of the schedule. That's a combination of LeBron James and Anthony Davis out. Remember, what was all the chatter coming into April? A lot of the chatter was, this is going to be the month where the Lakers fall in the NBA standings. And that's not, you know, that's not a shock or a surprise. This is the predicament. This is who the Lakers have on their schedule. They go 9 games in a row versus playoff teams. No LeBron, no Anthony Davis. LeBron's been out since March 20th. This was supposed to be the time that the Lakers would eventually start falling in the standings. The injury of LeBron and AD, that was supposed to put the Lakers potentially in a, okay, where are they going to fall back? Are they going to be in the play-in tournament now? Are they going to be even further back than the 7th or the 8th seed? That was the chatter that we had, and then here we are now, April 20th. Lakers have 5 games left in the month of April, and the Lakers show in the NBA standings kind of sitting in a solid spot, 5th place in the Western Conference. 5th place in the Western Conference when I think everybody just assumed, okay, that's not going to be the case. Lakers, they're going to, and by the way, I was, you know, I wasn't sitting there as well saying, oh, Lakers will be just fine. I was looking at the schedule like everybody else and kind of wondering and questioning how far the Lakers drop will be. So they're 35-23. Yes, they lost to the Jazz yesterday. Okay, no surprise. Rudy Gobert comes back. Mike Conley Jr. comes back, Derek Favors, Donovan Mitchell's still out. No surprise, Lakers, they lose that game, but they split the series against the Utah Jazz. I think you got to feel pretty good if you're a Lakers fan out there, and here are the Lakers taking one of those 2 games against the Jazz. So you're 35-23, sitting in 5th place in the Western Conference. You're 2.5 games back from the Denver Nuggets. A little bit of a surprise there, simply because Jamal Murray is out. You're in front of Portland by 2 games, and Portland, I think, has the Clippers tonight. So this might be one of those rare games that if the Clippers actually beat the Blazers, you might be okay with that. And then Dallas, you have a 4-game cushion on the Dallas Mavericks. That's going to be your next 2 opponents, Dallas sitting in 7th place in the Western Conference. So the reason why I mention all this is what was supposed to be a month where the Lakers struggled, none of that really came to fruition. Lakers kept their head above water. I'm not here trying to tell you that the Lakers played flawless basketball. I'm not here trying to tell you that the Lakers are a perfect team and they have no holes. By no means am I saying that. But what I am saying is this, in my opinion, was the toughest stretch of the season, and you survived. Partially you survived because you played around 500 basketball, which is good enough. Partially you survived because if Anthony Davis does not come back on Thursday against the Dallas Mavericks, he very, very well can potentially come back in that game on Saturday against the Dallas Mavericks. So help is on the way. And I think that's the, you know, the main thing I take away from this last 30 to 60 days or so for the Lakers. You're in a pretty damn good position. I mean, your position right now for this upcoming playoff run it looks like you're going to have your guys back. It looks like your two best players are not only going to be healthy, but they're going to be fresh for this playoff run in the sense that you didn't wear them down during the regular season. I mean, hell, Anthony Davis has missed 35 games this year, 30 in a row. LeBron James has been out since March 20th. When's the last time LeBron James had this much? I don't want to use the word rest because rest would mean he's just hanging out. He's not. He's rehabbing, trying to get back for the Lakers. But when has he had this much time in between playing games in the regular season before this postseason run? I think for me, what I learned from this Lakers team over this stretch run, over these last couple of months, I think I learned a lot about the role players for the Lakers. I learned a lot about the coaching staff for the Lakers. This is a team built with no excuses. I've mentioned that a couple of times. You know, obviously, I get the chance to do the post-game show and watching and listening to the games and having reaction and listening to reaction in the post-game show with Coach and listening to him pregame, all that stuff. I mean, anytime they're talking, we're obviously covering it. One of the things I've learned with this team, and I think it starts with the coaching staff, nobody made any excuses when the Lakers had all these injuries. Nobody. Coach would come on. My favorite is Coach in the postgame. Because Coach, if the Lakers win, he's going to talk for 8 or 9 minutes. And he's going to expand on things, and he's going to talk about how certain players are playing a certain way and certain role players are stepping up into a bigger role. He's going to get into all the details. If they lose, Coach has got short answers. Let me get to the point. Let me get the hell out of here, because you can just tell that every game that he walks into, he's expecting to win. The team has made no excuses all season long, and you know, I think there's a lot that you could take away from these last couple months, even without LeBron James and without Anthony Davis. By the way, quick shout-out here. Valvoline Instant Oil Change, home of the 15-minute drive-through oil change. Visit SoCalOilChange.com for locations and coupons today. One of our newest sponsors here to Lakers Talk. We greatly, greatly appreciate their partnership. Just pull up, drive in, and drive out. In about 15 minutes, you can get, obviously, your car back up to par and get an oil change. So when I say it's a team built with no excuses, I think there's great chemistry, camaraderie. Some of the things I enjoy watching with this Lakers team is LeBron's at every game. AD's at every game. Jared Dudley's at every game. There was a game, I forget who the Lakers played. Maybe it was the Brooklyn game. There was like six guys in street clothes, all of them on this road trip, all of them cheering on their play. You know, that says something. And if the difference between winning a championship and not, it could come down to chemistry, and I don't think that's something that the Lakers have to worry about. I think it was in the Brooklyn game. You had LeBron in street clothes, Anthony Davis, Jared Dudley, Wesley Matthews, Marc Gasol, and Kyle Kuzma, something like that. And I think it was the Brooklyn game, and you had more guys on the bench sitting there, a part of the timeouts, cheering on their guys when something good happened. You want to see that from your team. So these are some of the things I've learned with the best players being out. Players that I enjoyed watching the most. Okay, KCP looks like he's coming back to that postseason form that he was in last season. If you guys remember KCP in that bubble, no hesitation, locking down guys on defense. There was no second guessing, none of that stuff. He was fantastic in that postseason run, and you're starting to feel like that KCP that we were accustomed to last season, you're starting to get a little bit more of. Dennis Schroeder, I think, you know, over these last couple of months, it's very, very easy to appreciate what Dennis Schroeder does on a night-in-night-out basis. He might have a game, and I know I hear Laker fans say, well, he wasn't efficient. Oh, you know what, he had too many turnovers. Okay, that's fine. You're right about that. But one thing you don't question with Dennis Schroeder, dude's a fighter. Guy's going to come out every single game. A loose ball, he's the one diving for it. Going down with some type of an injury, finding a way to get back up and just keep going. I'll go down the list. Markieff Morris, in my opinion, the most underrated player on this Lakers roster. He's obviously kind of filled in a role for the Lakers. THT's number, you know, is going to be called at some point in the postseason. He's getting a tremendous amount of development so far. So a lot of things you can walk away with. And what we originally thought was going to be doomsday in April has not transpired. You know, none of that came into fruition. And I think there are a lot of reasons for that, but you got to give props to a lot of these Lakers role players, the coaches, like I mentioned, because Lakers are going to have some help coming here pretty soon. And it could be on Thursday with Anthony Davis back, which means we're only going to get healthier. We're only going to get, obviously, every day we're a little bit closer to our two stars and still sitting in a good spot in the Western Conference. I'll take fifth place in the West. The season ended today and Lakers ended up in fifth. Ideally, you want to get to fourth, have home court against Denver just to have home court. But, you know, to avoid the Clippers or avoid Utah or avoid the Suns in the first round, okay, that's a win. That's obviously a win if Lakers can get in that spot. Okay, quick shout out here. Pack your victory dance and go all in on fun at Harris Resort SoCal, from dining to unwinding. Fun is a sure bet at the best resort in Funner, California. Looking for a getaway, trying to get away for a couple of days. You don't want to take a flight. There's still obviously a lot of different COVID restrictions when it comes to traveling, or maybe you just feel safer because you can be a drive away. Harris Resort SoCal, very simple. Are you game for a getaway? Start planning your trip by visiting harrissocal.com. Couple things I want to do when we come back. Number one, Laker fans, what'd you learn from these Laker role players over the last couple of months? What'd you like? What'd you dislike? Are there things from the coaching staff that you learned over the last couple of months? Are you surprised that the Lakers are sitting where they are with all these injuries that they had? 877-710-ESPN. Plus, I want to talk about Anthony Davis when we come back. He's coming back soon. What are the expectations for AD? We'll do that coming up next. Stay right here. Lakers talk on 710-ESPN.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills. Your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
I appreciate you guys tuning in. 877-710-ESPN. Talking about this Lakers stretch this month of April where we thought Lakers can just fall in that standings. By the way, it wasn't just April. It was March as well, and how difficult it was going to be second half of the season. Look how tough the schedule is. LeBron and AD miss an extended period of time. Here, Lakers sitting in fifth place in the Western Conference. So if you want to chat on that, what you learned from some of these Lakers role players over the last couple of months, the coaching staff, what do you think the Lakers' position right now, fifth place in the West? Do you like where they're sitting under all the circumstances? You could feel free to shoot us a call. Okay, another thing I want to get into. Anthony Davis. So he could very well return. He could come back by Thursday, which is game one against the Dallas Mavericks. Game two against the Mavs, doing a two-game set in Dallas. It's coming up on Saturday. So what can we expect from AD when he returns? I think that's a fair question, because Coach has already talked about this. By the way, every single post-game interview yesterday, everybody just keeps talking about AD and LeBron now. We're that close. You know, it's been obviously a long stretch. Anthony Davis, we haven't seen him since Valentine's Day. February 14th is when AD went down against Denver, made a move on Jokic, and that was it. Called a wrap there. So here we are now over, 9 weeks, something along those lines. Every time I've talked about Anthony Davis and I think about his expectations, I think I was trying to will this. I don't know how much I believed it. But I remember when when the Lakers traded for Anthony Davis, I started talking about how I thought Anthony Davis will be he'll have a better shot at MVP than LeBron James. And I was trying to make that case simply because my thought process was, okay, well, LeBron's, you know, he's getting up there in age. Here comes Anthony Davis. AD is walking into his prime. Oh, no. LeBron is going to allow Anthony Davis to be the man. And LBJ will be more strategic and kind of pace himself. Okay, I was wrong last year because that wasn't the case. AD was, no question about it, the best player in the world, and no question about it, not even close, hands down, the best player on this Lakers roster. Then the offseason came again. And again, I'm trying to sell myself on this. I come out in, you know, the summer, or not the summer, but in the offseason, which was obviously what was that, November, whatever the case was. And I start making the case again, saying, okay, Anthony Davis this year. Yeah, just watch out for AD. AD's got a better shot to be MVP this year than he did last. Okay, I went on with that chat and that conversation. The reality is, again, LeBron James at age 36, still the most valuable player in the NBA, no question about it, still the most valuable player on this Lakers team. So what can we expect from Anthony Davis when he comes back? We know that we know he's going to be on a minutes restriction. Over time, I think all anybody is asking for from Anthony Davis is just hopefully he's healthy, right? That he was away from the game long enough to whatever nagging injuries that he had, whatever maybe mental concerns that he had from a confidence perspective. Okay, am I going to re-injure this calf strain that he had? The hope is that all that is gone, that we don't have to worry about that specifically anymore for the Lakers, and Anthony Davis is just moving back in the right direction. I don't know how long it's going to take for him to be the AD that, you know, we're obviously accustomed to and that we're looking for, but the reality is Anthony Davis, he's going to find his way back, and I think the key for him is just not thinking about that injury at all. So however long that takes, and maybe that's 2 weeks from now, maybe it's 3 weeks, maybe it's a week from now, we start seeing the Anthony Davis that we're accustomed to, playing his type of game, dropping 25 points, 12 rebounds, a couple block shots. That's Anthony Davis. I find myself wanting AD to take over the franchise. You know, you just kind of naturally say, okay, well, just look at AD's. We know he's going to be the future. We know just his age and the position. This is the prime of his career that he's walking into. But the reality is, it's still LeBron's team. It's still LeBron's league. But if AD can help carry the team once he gets back, that's all that matters. And Anthony Davis understands that. The rest of the squad understands that. I think there's definitely been some benefits to this spot that the Lakers have been in without a lot of their main players. And all I'm simply saying there is I think a lot of these role players learned how to not depend on the two main guys over the stretch. They're depending on each other. But the franchise is definitely different from the moment he left. When AD went down with his injury back on February 14th, the team was just in a different spot. What's changed? The biggest change? Andre Drummond. So Andre Drummond was not part of the Lakers when Anthony Davis was still playing. Now Andre Drummond comes on this Lakers team, and I've been hitting on this the last couple of shows that I've done. Andre Drummond has some holes in his game, let's just say that. Well, those holes that he has are what are Anthony Davis's strengths, and the holes that AD might have, not many at all, are Andre Drummond's strengths. So these two dudes are definitely going to be complementing each other the entire, you know, remainder of the season for however long these two play together. We know Andre Drummond's going to do a lot of the dirty work for the Lakers. We'll do a lot of the things that maybe AD doesn't prefer to do until later in the game. I'm talking about the fourth quarter. AD's, okay, I got to go play the five. I got to go handle this, that, or whatever the case is. Okay, I'll do it. But AD's going to do it. When he needs to do it, he'd probably prefer not to do it the entire game. So I can't wait to see Anthony Davis and Andre Drummond together. Have no idea what defenses will do about that combination. Honestly, I just kind of really think about what those two players in the front court are going to be like. Every time I mention it to Michael Thompson, I'm like, Michael, how are teams going to stop Anthony Davis and Andre Drummond? How are teams going to stop AD and AD? Michael's like, I don't know. I really have no idea how they're going to stop them. They're not going to stop them. So there's going to be that curiosity once Anthony Davis comes back. It's going to take him some time. I'm sure he's going to need time to get his conditioning back. I'm sure he's going to need time to get his timing back. I'm sure it's going to take a little bit of time to get accustomed to playing with some of these players on this Lakers team because LeBron James is not there and he's not setting every play up. But with all that being said, you know, you look at this Lakers team, you look at this roster, I can't wait to see when Anthony Davis comes back because he's going to be the first player back between AD and LeBron, how that Andre Drummond mix is going to work. Laker fans, what are you expecting from Anthony Davis when he returns? 877-710-ESPN. How do teams counter that front court for the Lakers, AD and AD? Honestly, what are they going to do on a night-in, night-out basis? I get asked this question a ton. I get asked the question about when you look at the Western Conference, you look at the East, and you look at specific teams that you think might challenge the Lakers. Lakers got so much size. And that was such a key part of Lakers' championship run last year, the size that they have, right? I mean, there's a lot of conversation about, you know, obviously how big the Dwight Howard, JaVale McGee, Anthony Davis, what that combination was. And then the Lakers didn't bring back Dwight and they didn't bring back JaVale. And there are a lot of Laker fans that, you know, kept emphasizing, well, what are we going to do? You got to have those players. You don't have enough size. And just kind of that conversation continued. They grab Andre Drummond. I think that certainly has quieted some of that noise. But this is certainly going to be a unique opportunity to see how these two fit together. Okay, Mike Trudell, when we come back. So Trudell, as always, as good as it gets covering the Lakers, I'll ask him really just what he thinks of where the Lakers are at. If he's surprised that through all the injuries, the Lakers are sitting where they are sitting. I know as we get through the show as well, there's some good, interesting clips that came from Kyle Kuzma yesterday talking about working AD back onto the team. So we'll get into that. Kuzma also talked about closing lineups and how that's going to be kind of an interesting dynamic for the Lakers as the season progresses. So we'll do all that coming up next. Mike Trudell coming up. Stay right here. Appreciate you guys tuning in. This is Lakers Talk on 710 ESPN.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
I appreciate you guys being a part of the show. We'll go till 9 o'clock. Well, let me welcome in Mike Trudell, beat reporter for the Lakers, sideline reporter for Spectrum Sportsnet. Mike, what's going on? Thank you for taking some time.
Hey, Alan, how are you?
Doing okay, man. Doing all right. You know, just was starting off the show, and I'll get your thoughts on this. But you know, April was supposed to be, and certainly when LeBron went out on March 20th, this was supposed to be, in my opinion, the toughest stretch for the Lakers. Combination of you got a tough schedule, and then, of course, the bigger problem is LeBron and Anthony Davis were both out. We might get AD back as soon as Thursday. Maybe it's Saturday. Whatever the case is, we know he's coming back soon. Just keeping all that into consideration, you look at the standings. Here are Lakers sitting in fifth place. Are you surprised where the Lakers are after all some of the challenges that they've had over the last couple of months?
I mean, if anything, I think that the Lakers are in a really good spot, all things considered. You know, to be 12 games over 500 in a season in which Anthony Davis has been out since February 12th, that alone is pretty impressive. And then even perhaps more impressive, LeBron James missing this much time. There's almost never been first of all, Alan, LeBron never misses times. But when he has missed times, his teams have really struggled. Mm-hmm. And that even includes when he goes to the bench. So, yeah, I think you'll take it, especially considering what the potential playoff matchups are. I don't know if there's a huge difference between Utah in the one seed and Dallas in the seven even. You know, look, Utah's a better team, but that's not just a for sure stamp it. Utah would win that series. I think just considering Luka Doncic and how he could potentially close games, and Utah has a bit more of a system regular season team. So I think the Lakers have to be pretty pleased, all things considered, including the shortened offseason and last year's marathon.
Mike, you know, just kind of paying attention to the schedule that the Lakers got coming up, these next two games against the Dallas Mavericks. I guess, yes, every game could be critical. You and I can sit here, we can make that case, but I think the fact that you just said whether you're playing the Jazz or you're playing the Mavericks, you're going to have challenges in the first round. Are you paying attention to these games and, like, let's say you would if the Lakers were healthy and, you know, get the number one seed, get the number two. Do you pay that much attention to the standings the way you did in the past, or do you find yourself paying a little bit less attention because of the circumstances?
So I personally pay attention to it constantly just because I think it's interesting and it's kind of fun to look at. So if there's a page that I look at more than anything else on my phone, it's the NBA app and the standings, and same thing when I'm on my computer. So I am guilty, certainly, of standings watching and of thinking about matchups. But I don't think the Lakers as a team need to be. I don't think they should be concerned with it really at all. And partly it's just because their most important thing, and this is obvious, but it's getting LeBron and AD back. Because if they're healthy, again, I don't really care that much what the matchup is. So they're going to be favored. They're going to feel like the favorite. If they have to go to any given arena and win a game to get home court, let's say that if they're not a top four seed, that shouldn't be a problem. They won 17 straight road games in the Western Conference last season. I think that this year they're overall more talented than they were last year. Now, maybe there's less cohesion at this time of the year as there was last year. But again, once they had all of the cohesion built up, and we remember, you know, just over a year ago now, they had those two wins against Milwaukee and the Clippers, and then they didn't play for 3 months up until the bubble started, and they picked it right back up. And I think that's a credit to LeBron and Frank Vogel and AD more than anything else. So, yeah, I think that they're the other teams that should potentially face the Lakers in round one are probably going to be a little bit more concerned about it than they are. And that's just based on history and based on what the accomplishments of the team have been.
Mike Trudell, beat reporter for the Lakers, sideline reporter for Spectrum Sportsnet, as good as it gets in the business, covering the Lakers, spending some time on Lakers talk here. Mike, we got a chance, like you mentioned, we spent a lot of time obviously watching the role players over the last couple of months, and role players' roles increased because of necessity. There was no choice here. Without LeBron and Anthony Davis, they couldn't look over their shoulder and say, okay, well, LeBron will save us here, or AD will save us. What are some stuff you take away from these role players, specific players that stuck out to you, maybe something you learned from a guy that you didn't know over the course of this stretch that you didn't know before?
Yeah, I think that's been the part where if you want to take the optimist perspective, and all of this assumes that LeBron and AD eventually do get back healthy, but the optimist perspective would be that Frank Vogel's had a chance to basically engage the entire roster throughout this point of the season, where guys have gotten a lot more minutes than they typically would have if LeBron and AD were playing their 30 to 35 minutes per game. And you can see the benefits in the all-around game for a guy like Kyle Kuzma, who's had to do a little bit of everything. Sometimes he's been the leading scorer. Sometimes he's been just a guy that goes in and attacks the glass. Sometimes he's focused on his defense. All of that stuff. I think that Dennis Schroeder has really had a chance to put himself into the primary ball-handling role. And while that's not something that you want him to have to do in a postseason run, I think the experience of doing it is going to help him once LeBron gets back, and then he gets to move to a more secondary spot. Drummond, I think it's going to be really important for him to keep getting some minutes here as LeBron and AD get integrated back into things so that he can kind of figure out what his best role on the team is going to be. And then off the bench, I mean, those, by the way, are bench guys who have turned into starters. But now off the bench, of course, THT has really emerged, just at his season high of 24 points. I think that he's kind of earning the ultimate trust of the coaching staff, which we know he had some of. And then Alex Caruso, who to me should always be up there for the best bench players in the NBA, but doesn't get talked about, Alex, because he doesn't have the counting stats. But if you look at his on-off numbers, if you look at just how well the team plays when he's in the game, that's something they knew, but again, has been sort of just stamped in and tattooed on that much more. So there's a lot that has been learned, I think, about this team, and ultimately it's just that they have a lot of really good role players who need the stars to ultimately be the team that we thought they'd be, and that's by design, right? That's how Rob Pelinka built the team.
Mike, I know it's a good problem to have, but the way you just described and listed off all those players, I'm sure there's going to come times where many of these playoff games, there's no guarantee or lock that you're going to close out a game. Okay, maybe the starters are set, right? Maybe we know exactly what the five starters are going to be. How do you think Coach kind of shuffles closing out games? And do you think it's just going to come down to what player is playing the best, what makes most sense? It doesn't have to be where I think a lot of other teams, there's kind of a set closing five that you know, okay, 5 minutes left in the game, most likely this team is going to close with this. How do you think Coach handles the last 5, 7, 10 minutes of a game because the team is 13 deep or so?
Yeah, I know that was a talking point last night after the game, and I know that some of the players were asked about, hey, what do you think the closing lineup is going to be? And we should remember back to last season, and the Lakers didn't really have one that they had to go to every time throughout their run. Frank Vogel was able to switch it up. The two guys, of course, you know, are going to be in there are LeBron and AD. More often than not, it's going to be KCP. Last year, Danny Green was in a lot of closing lineups, but not all of them. Rondo had supplanted him to some extent in the postseason. Other nights, they used Kuzma. Sometimes it was Caruso, right? Sometimes it was, I'm trying to think. Yeah, I mean, Marquise Morris got in there. And by the way, he's been playing really good basketball lately. So that, like, there are all these different options. But I think the bottom line is that if you really, when it all comes down to it, Frank Vogel can still use a group that he used to close games last year and just sub in either Alex Caruso for Danny Green with the rest of the starters, and then either Drummond or Gasol in at the five if you want. But most likely your best lineup is AD at the five. So AD at the five, LeBron at the four, KCP in at the two. At the three, you can go with Kuz, right? Somebody, again, that you have that continuity with from last year. And then you can bring in Caruso. But as we just mentioned, Alan, there are so many other options there. I think that Vogel, he either can play the hot hand or he can just focus on the best defensive matchup. And that's where, to me, it's actually more of an advantage than it is a disadvantage. When you have guys that can kind of come in and midstream and give you a different look and it all plays off two stars, then you're fine. I'm not sure what those groups are going to be. I think it's going to be more of a feel thing, and we saw it work last year just fine.
Well, Mike, and I think that's such a great point. I mean, we saw that postseason run last season. You know, Portland's going to play one way, right? And they have one style of basketball they could play. At that time, the Rockets, when James Harden was there, they have one style to play. Denver, go down the list, Miami. The Lakers had the ability because they were so deep, and you mentioned it, you know, at the beginning of this conversation about Rob Pelinka. By design, this roster is the way it is. This is a good problem to have, and we'll see, you know, how those scenarios play out, but was curious to get your thoughts because I know it was brought up yesterday as well. Mike Trudell, beat writer for the Lakers, sideline reporter for Spectrum Sportsnet, taking some time to join Lakers Talk. Mike, I'm going to read off a quote here. You had a conversation with Dennis Schroeder after the game on Saturday. Lakers beat the Jazz. And he said, when AD and LeBron come back, it's going to be really scary. I know that's a very simple quote. I know that that's not an earth-shattering or anything like that. But when you read that and you kind of take into mind how long it's been since the Lakers have had all their pieces, and now you're adding Andre Drummond to the mix, so even Anthony Davis hasn't got a chance to play with Drummond. LeBron hasn't got a chance to play with Drummond. When the Lakers are at full strength, and hopefully that is sooner than later, just give me your overall thoughts on this team walking into the playoffs. If there are some teams out there that you think are legitimate threats, or do you feel like if the Lakers are healthy, this is very similar to last season where they'll be the favorites coming in again?
Oh, they're the favorite. Yeah, there's just, to me, there's no question. They're the clear favorite. I think they proved what they needed to prove last year. We know that LeBron James, we know what he does. We know who he is. We know that AD is AD. So, clearly those guys are going to want to show that they are back to being healthy. But we're assuming that, right? Neither of these injuries were, neither one of them had a surgery, right? Or an operation or something that they had to come back from. It's a high ankle sprain for LeBron, and it's a calf strain for AD that they've said has been healthy now for a little bit, but they're just trying to make sure that he's conditioned enough to the point where he's not. So that gives me some comfort just knowing that these are injuries that they are experienced with. They is in the training staff. Like they know how to get back for those types of things. It's not this whole off-season regimen or anything. So that's the one thing there. And then I think if you look around the rest of the Western Conference, the Denver loss of Jamal Murray is a big one. I thought that they had emerged since they got Aaron Gordon as the team that was probably the second best team in the West when everybody's fully healthy. Now the Clippers would have a lot to say about that. I think that would have been, if they were to rematch as the last year's conference semis, I think it would have been another really good series. And I would give Denver a slight edge with Jokic down the stretch, being able to get them better shots even than what Kawhi and Paul George are able to generate for the Clippers. But, you know, that I think that would have been a real one. And I think Rondo helps the Clippers too. So those to me are actually probably that the next tier of teams in the West, even though Utah is number one, Phoenix is number two, and the Suns are actually probably playing even a little bit better right now than Utah is. So all those teams are good, but I don't think any of them have shown something this year that should make us stray from what we know about the Lakers and what we think we can assume once they get their horses back. And so to that end, Alan, nothing has really changed, honestly, from before the season where, like, in terms of how I saw the standings playing out, other than Utah being a little bit better. And I think the reason is because they have the best continuity in the league. Their top eight rotation players back from last year, plus Derek Favors, who played for Utah for six seasons, and they haven't gotten anybody hurt up until the point where Donovan Mitchell went down with the ankle last week. And then Phoenix. Phoenix has only missed eight games to starters all year.
Wow.
So there you go. Like, that's why those guys are 1-2 in the West. It's not because they're better than the Lakers or even to an extent the Clippers or the Nuggets. And that, you know, if you've been watching the league closely, and I know you have, none of that's really evolved, right? None of that has changed that much from the preseason.
Mike, great stuff, buddy. I appreciate the time. Enjoy the rest of your night with your family. All right, man?
All right. Thanks a lot. Take care, man.
All right. That's Mike Trudell right there. Best in the business. I tell Mike every time I run into him at Staples Center, I told him last time, he does these three things to know before every game. I'm doing the pregame show with Michael Thompson. So every day before the pregame show, I'm going on, Mike, what do you got? Three things to know. What do you give me some information about tonight's game? No, he really is the best covering the Lakers, and appreciate his time. Okay, let's do this when we come back. I know we got some callers on hold. 877-710-ESPN. Let's look at the threats in the just in each conference. Who are the threats right now to the Lakers? Western Conference, Eastern Conference. Who is a legitimate threat to the Lakers? Listen, I couldn't agree more with Dennis Schroeder saying when AD and LeBron comes back, it's going to be really scary. Couldn't agree with Mike Trudell saying what's really changed from the beginning of the season to this point. Has anything really changed? I know we're going to sit here and say, okay, well, the Lakers have to be healthy. Every team's got to be healthy. So it's not just the Lakers. Every team. If Utah doesn't have Donovan Mitchell, what do you think happens? Denver just lost Jamal Murray, unfortunately, and I continue to emphasize how unfortunate that loss is because that's a young, upcoming team that you want to see them get their cracks at the Western Conference, and they got to the Western Conference Finals last year. No team wins without being healthy. So I want to talk about the biggest threats to the Lakers when we do come back. Appreciate you guys being a part of the show. I'll take some of these phone calls, 877-710-ESPN. This is Lakers Talk on ESPN LA.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac, weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And, boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
What are we, April 20th right now? So we're about a little over a month away from the NBA playoffs starting here in 2021. Lakers got a chance to go back-to-back. Anthony Davis expected to make his return. He's been out for 30 straight games. Expected to make his return. It could happen as early as Thursday. Maybe it happens Saturday. If it doesn't happen in those two games, certainly it's going to happen. It looks like sometime in this four-game road trip that the Lakers have. 877-710-ESPN. Let me take a couple phone calls here. And by the way, thank you to Mike Trudell again for taking some time. Steve in La Habra. Steve, what's going on? Thank you for calling in.
I always love your show. I just wanted to say George Mikan, Wilt Chamberlain, Jerry West, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, Magic Johnson, Shaq, Kobe, LeBron, Anthony Davis. Which one doesn't fit here as being the Lakers' leader? Anthony Davis didn't win when he – how many playoff games did he win when he was with the Pelicans? Or series one?
I think he won one series.
I mean, come on, bro. As big and dominant as he should be, he should have won more than one series. LeBron had some hacks on some of those teams.
Well, Steve,
took him to the championship series. I mean, he's not the Lakers' future. And I guarantee you, coming forth in the future, I was talking to Bill Walton, and Bill Walton was saying, hey, this kid's going to get injured way too much. So,
well, Steve, let me say this and stay on the line for a quick second. So I don't know if you heard me earlier in the show where I was – trying to sell myself as AD is going to be the MVP. No, AD is the guy. The last couple of seasons I've done that. Here's the reality. LeBron James, just different class, different world. Even when AD and LeBron are in together, LeBron goes to take a breather. The team is completely different. If the argument, Steve, is AD cannot carry a franchise on his own, there are not many LeBron James, so let's not – that conversation and category will not happen. So I don't disagree on that part. The one thing I will say about AD, when it does become his franchise, his future, yeah, he's going to need another player the caliber of Anthony Davis if they're going to go on and win championships together.
Need another player or two the caliber of him or better. You know, this is look LeBron the way he looks.
LeBron is injured, but LeBron is just a joke.
But the way LeBron looks, as mm-hmm. strong as he is, he's the strongest, baddest man mm-hmm. on the court. Whenever he steps on, your Steph Currys and all these other people. I mean, LeBron should have been the MVP, you know, of every season that he's been playing, just like, you know, Michael Jordan. But, you know, they give it to this one or that one because it's cute. He can't win every time. But I'm telling you that I truly believe, and I brought this up to you and Travis also, and you guys laughed at me, I really think LeBron is going to play longer for the Lakers than Anthony Davis will because, you know, big dogs get hurt a lot. He's a big dog that's always hurt. And, you know, and I'm not saying today or tomorrow, but, you know, 3-4 years down the road when LeBron's still strong, Anthony Davis is probably going to have to retire because he's just – too injury prone.
Appreciate you calling in.
That's what's going to happen.
Appreciate you calling in. Thank you, Steve. Listen, I get, you know, you can make these are just assumptions, right? Assumption is, I know Anthony Davis is 27, 28 years old. I know LeBron's 36. So, yes, what LeBron has done has been absolutely ridiculous. I'm not a big fan of the conversations of, you know, there's certain hypotheticals out there. If you want to play a hypothetical game on Anthony Davis and say, well, AD can't carry a team on his own to go win a championship, tell me who has carried a team on his own to win a championship. And if you want to make the case LeBron has, you're talking about literally one of the top three or four best players to ever play the game. And some people would say, how dare you even think of him in your top three? He should be further up, or top four, he should be further up. Yeah, there aren't many LeBrons, and we should not be making any comparisons with Anthony Davis and LeBron James because there's no comparison. What you should be saying about Anthony Davis is, like many other superstars in the NBA, they need running mates. They need somebody to go win with. I mean, Magic was winning championships with Kareem, and he was doing it with James Worthy, and go down the list of all these other Hall of Famers who Larry Bird won championships with. Shaq was winning with Kobe, or he was winning with Dwayne Wade. Kobe was winning with Pau Gasol. That's just the way the league is structured. LeBron, even when he won his championship back in 2016, he did it with Kyrie, and he did it with Kevin Love. But there is such a drop-off from LeBron James and whoever was second, and that just shows, you know, obviously LeBron's greatness. Manuel and Gardena. Manuel, what's going on?
Oh, Fleestack, happy 420 to you. Just in case you're not able to smoke on a fat spleef or take a bong rip, I'm going to do it for you, my man, all right?
Well, thank you. Thank you, Manuel. Thank you for being so considerate.
You are the voice of the Los Angeles Lakers. I really appreciate the analysis, you know, bringing on Trudell, all the info that you always give us Lakers fans. So, you know, it's a good job by you, Fleestack.
Appreciate it, man.
As you know, I am moving to the beat of a new Drummond, okay?
Mm-hmm.
I am an Andre Drummond fan, and I'm with you, man. I mean, come on. This guy's already throwing dirt on AD's career. I didn't know he was Greg Oden. My goodness. Can we just, like, see if he comes back first? I mean, he hasn't even come off the injured list, has he?
He is not. And, by the way, last season, you know, obviously played through that entire playoff run. This year, maybe I'm wrong on this, and this might not be a bad question to ask in one of these pregames to coach, but if the Lakers were, let's say, the timing, let's say AD went down and it wasn't February, it was April. Would he have been able to come back? But because they have the luxury of sitting him, I think the Lakers were just overly cautious. AD was overly cautious. Wouldn't you be? I'd be doing exactly what the Lakers are doing.
I was just going to say that. I mean, it's doubtful he would have come back, you know, but we're not living in hypotheticals. He is coming back.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see what he has. Same thing with LeBron. I mean, I think we just got to get behind this team and believe in Vogel, believe in the moves that Pelinka's made, and just, hey, man, let's go back to back. I don't like the negativity.
Well,
Fleestack, great job. Let me know when you and T-Rod are on.
Tomorrow. Sure. Back on tomorrow. Thank you, Manuel. Appreciate you calling in. I'll say this. You know, I was having that conversation with Mike Trudell. So Dennis Schroeder tells Trudell after the game on Saturday, he says, when AD and LeBron come back, it's going to be really scary. Okay. All right. I don't know if that's I don't know if that's – I mean, I think it's just literally his reaction to thinking, wow, we got all these players plus myself, and we've been freaking doing this without LeBron and Anthony Davis. I was looking at this, and I'm just trying to see here, okay? Obviously, I agree with Dennis Schroeder. How are the Lakers still not the team to beat in the NBA? Tell me a team that has a better chance to win the championship other than the Lakers. By the way, if you disagree with me, great. Make a case. Tell me why you think there's another team out there that's got a better shot than the Los Angeles Lakers to win a championship this year. And if you're going to bring up health, just make sure you understand there's no team out there that if they're not 100% healthy will not have a shot to win an NBA or will have a shot to win an NBA championship. If your stars or one of your stars is missing, you're not winning a ring. And that goes with the Lakers as well. That's just how the NBA works. We've seen many different NBA playoff runs over the years. The most recent one back in 2019 where Klay Thompson goes down, KD goes down, and then here's the Toronto Raptors hoisting the trophy. Okay, yeah, you're hoisting the trophy, but that's because they got injured, but that's part of the game. There's nothing, nothing you could do about that. LeBron's been in predicaments where his teammates have gone down, been injured, and other teams took advantage of it. But if healthy, which you just look at the timing and kind of read through some of the chatter over the last couple of weeks, AD's coming back, LeBron James, even if LBJ doesn't come back for another couple of weeks, we're still over 30 days away from the playoffs starting. So I'm going to go back to this. Tell me a team that has a better chance to win the championship. 877-710-ESPN. I want to look at, let's look at some of these threats in each conference. Okay. Got our top NBA stories coming up next, by the way. Brad Turner coming up at 8:30. We still got a lot of conversations to get into, and I'm going to do that as the show progresses. So this is what I'll say. Let's look at the Western Conference. Lakers just played two games against the Utah Jazz. I know Donovan Mitchell wasn't there. So what's unfortunate, the most unfortunate thing about the three games the Lakers played against the Utah Jazz this season, Lakers were not healthy in all three games. And the Utah Jazz, last two games, no Donovan Mitchell. And the game on Saturday, I think it was, who was out? Mike Conley was out, Rudy Gobert, Donovan Mitchell, go down the list. The Utah Jazz, if somebody wants to make a case that they got a better shot at coming out of the Western Conference than the Lakers, the lack of experience and the lack of star power for the Utah Jazz, to me, is everything. Donovan Mitchell is a top 15 player in the league. LeBron and Anthony Davis are the top five players, and LeBron is in a class of his own. You don't have the star power, in my opinion, as great as it is. They move the ball, and Joe Ingles throws it to Royce O'Neal, and Clarkson coming off the bench, and Mike Conley is there too. You don't have the star player like the star power that the Lakers do. And by the way, it's not like the Utah Jazz have gone through all these experiences over the years. This squad has losing in the playoffs, getting to the Western Conference Finals, and this is just part of the process of evolving. God bless the Utah Jazz, but I thought Trudell said it best. The reason why Utah and the Suns are 1-2 in the Western Conference, it's not because they're the best teams in the West, it's because they've been the healthiest. Now, if that continues and other teams aren't healthy, then they'll benefit from that. Okay, let's look at another team. How about the Los Angeles Clippers? For the Clippers, I really need to see it to believe it. Show us, right? I mean, how can you make a case for the Clippers right now when they're playing good basketball, by the way. They're playing as good as basketball as anybody in the league. And I'm a big fan of the addition of Rajon Rondo. I think Ty Lue, obviously his championship experience. Chauncey Billups is on the sidelines. Kawhi Leonard has won a championship. But I have not seen the Clippers with that core put together some type of a run to convince me or convince others that, yeah, the Clippers have a better shot than the Lakers do this upcoming postseason. That is a franchise where I don't think you can just have faith in the Clippers. I think you literally have to see that franchise get past the second round to even think that they are truly in that conversation with the best of the best. They're going to have to still prove it. By the way, another big difference between the Lakers and the Clippers, size. The Andre Drummond, Anthony Davis factor will continue to be an issue for the Clippers. Ivica Zubac having a nice season. Serge Ibaka's a nice player. Lakers have legitimate big. The front court is so much better than any other front court out there in the NBA, but specifically against the Clippers, it's not really much of a matchup there. So that's where I think the Lakers differ from the Clippers. The Suns, not sold on them. I'm sorry. Too young, too inexperienced. Chris Paul's the absolute man, but everybody else that's on that roster, it's not like they have all these, you know, years of championship experience, gone through the grit and grind Chris Paul has, but none of these other players have. So I'm not as worried about the Phoenix Suns. And then I look at the Eastern Conference. In the East, you know, you got the Brooklyn Nets. A lot of people think Brooklyn's going to come out of the East. My question about the Nets, I think they'll come out of the East too. My question about the Nets is, can you get a stop? Can you play defense? Do you have enough size? There are legitimate advantages Lakers have over the Brooklyn Nets. And listen, I get it. The Nets, you got three guys that can score anytime. I get all that. It's unbelievable firepower on offense. But what I'm accustomed to watching the NBA for as many years as I have, you got to be able to get stops. Tell me who gets stops on the Brooklyn Nets. I don't have that answer. I guess what I'm trying to say, when it's all said and done, I still think the Lakers are the team to beat, and it's no question to me that they're still the team to beat. Can you sit here? Can I sit here and say that, you know, obviously I'm a big Laker fan and everything else? Yeah, but I could also be objective. I would be shooting it straight if the Lakers just, it didn't look like they had the chemistry, or they didn't have look like they have the talent. Health is going to be the number one concern for the Lakers, but health is also going to be the number one concern for any other team that's out there that's competing for a championship. Top NBA stories coming up next. Thank you for tuning in. Lakers Talk on 710 ESPN.